Hi, this is Danielle von Scheiner from Big Apple Hard Cider in New York City, and you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode 35. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am your Cider MC. On this weekly podcast, where we speak to cider makers and enthusiasts from around the world. And this week, we are in the city that never sleeps, New York, speaking with Danielle von Scheiner from Big Apple Hard Cider. There'll be more on that chat in a moment. If you like Cider Chat and you would like to support this podcast to keep this chat thriving, please tell three of your friends today about this podcast, which is available wherever you find your favorite shows online via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and at ciderchat.com. Just as Gidon Cole of Original Sin told the folks attending his cider seminar at Pour the Core in Brooklyn this past weekend.
This lecture was sponsored by Cider Chat. Anybody listen to Cider Chat or not? Cider Chat is a podcast, and we've got 38 episodes so far. And if you want to get a really great sense of what's going on in the industry, I recommend listening to it.
Oh, he is a sinful cider maker indeed. That lecture was not sponsored by Cider Chat, although Cider Chat would love to be able to do that. This is essentially a podcast that I am self-supporting at this point. But I do have an option for anyone wanting to help this chat and podcasts to continue to thrive. And you could go to my Patreon page via the ciderchat.com website or just Google Cider Chat Patreon. There, for commercial cider makers, you could join in on the campaign for Cider Going Up, which is about helping me promote cider, as I did at Pour the Core in Brooklyn this past weekend. Listen now as you could hear what folks are saying about cider in just one of the boroughs of New York City.
How would you explain cider to somebody, you know, who didn't know what it was?
Never tasted it. Never tasted it.
How would you explain cider to somebody, you know, who didn't?
To me, cider is a combination between, like, beer and wine. It can be sparkling. There's quite a different varieties of it. We've been to a couple booths today that I think are really interesting in regards to that. The Easy Orchards one actually had like a French, yep, quote-unquote wine is what they called it. So I think it can be either or. It depends on your taste. It depends on your preference.
I'm honestly open to all alcohols, but I just feel like cider is a little bit smoother, a little bit sweeter. And I like sweet, so that works good for me.
Yeah, I think it's more refreshing. It reminds you of childhood, because I think everyone that sips on it, they always say it's like a spiked apple juice. But depends on if you have a good, you know, brand or if you don't. Mm-hmm. But I think it's awesome. I love cider.
I don't like beer, okay, but I like hard cider.
First Cider Fest?
First Cider Fest, because I'm gluten-free.
Have you ever been to one before?
No.
So why are you coming to this one?
Have a few drinks.
Do you go for like sweet ciders or dry ciders?
Definitely sweeter.
Have you been to a Cider Fest before?
No. No, this is the first one.
And is it something that you drink as your kind of primary go-to, or
no,
do you drink cider normally?
Yeah, I enjoy the stuff.
And do you have any kind of particular ciders that you like to try?
I typically like dry and hop ciders.
You been to Wassail?
We have.
We did, we really like it.
And their gin is out of sight.
Their gin, and how about the cider experience at Wassail?
Oh, love it, love it. I mean, this is so exciting.
Is this your first time at a Cider Fest?
Yes.
That was a little bit drier than like the average cider.
Right.
You know, so that, are you looking for something that maybe doesn't have any sugar in it, or?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I don't want no sugar. Like, yeah.
I've never seen Virtue in the store. I would definitely get Virtue. Very clean, crisp taste.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I'm about to come back again and get another one.
I might just do the same thing.
Definitely, it's really good.
What is your name?
Miguel.
And what's your name?
Dominic.
And are you from Brooklyn?
We're from Queens.
And if you'd like to see photos of just some of the folks I spoke at Pour the Core, do go to the Cider Chat Facebook page and look for the album Cider Chat in Brooklyn. And thanks everyone who took their time chatting with me and sharing their thoughts on cider. I found it really informative. And I also like to thank the folks at Pour the Core. And if you are a commercial cider maker thinking, dang, this is good stuff, I'd like to help a Cider Chat continue moving out in the world and speaking with people and promote cider, please do go to the Cider Going Up campaign page at ciderchat.com. Now let's get to the chat with Danielle von Scheiner of Big Apple Hard Cider. If ever you've been to New York City and felt a little overwhelmed, or you're thinking about heading to New York City and wondering, what can I do? Where do I start? This chat is chock full of great insider information. And you could find the show notes to this episode at ciderchat.com, episode 35. I now know I have a level of confidence that I never had going to New York City, and I have Danielle to thank for that. So without further ado, let's all head to this urban cidery in New York City and grab a glass and join a chat with Danielle von Scheiner of Big Apple Hard Cider. I just knew her as Danielle. I didn't even yet know her full name. I was in town to attend Pour the Core the next day, and I had rented an Airbnb. The description had said there's a garden up back, and I thought, dang, that's a perfect place to meet up and have a chat. I had hoped to get into the apartment and get myself a little set up after the long 3-hour drive from my part of Ciderville down to the city. I had about 20 minutes to spare to get myself together before Danielle arrived. You know the feeling, you have every little duck in a row, but things just don't quite go the way you expect. The key to my rental wasn't working, and I couldn't get in. I was ready to leave this apartment and try to figure out what next. Then up rides a motorcycle. Person steps off, takes off the helmet, and lets all her long blonde hair fall out. I thought I was in a commercial or speaking to a blonde-haired Laura Croft from The Tomb Raider, who just so happened to be Danielle von Scheiner from Big Apple Hard Cider. I was flustered, but she didn't miss a beat, which goes to show you there's a lesson in knowing that sometimes you just need someone from Ciderville to help you get out, to get into the portal, and to get to that chat. Soon we were sitting outside in the back garden of the Brooklyn Row House, my home away from home for the weekend. There was green grass, heads of lettuce, and a Grecian statue in the back. The owners had made a table out of a large wooden spool. Upon that table, Danielle had placed two small, flattish, white cardboard boxes. One with a round Big Apple Hard Cider label placed just so that it kept the box closed. There were also two large bottles of cider. One I noted was from Naked Flock Cidery. And the other, I was to find out, was from Descendant Cider, both New York State cideries. I had already felt she was a friend forever after helping me get into my apartment, but it was also becoming quite apparent that I was sitting across from a gal who embodied all the best parts of both Ciderville and the city known around the world as the Big Apple. Soon we were gabbing away and looking at the first of the two white boxes. I love the presentation. I think presentation is just so important in that way. And it says, Big Apple Hard Cider, a big apple in the center with two stars on the side, and NY for New York in the middle. Open this up, is that what you're saying? Okay, all right, let's start there. Whoa, Danielle, look at that.
Cool.
The T-shirt, Big Apple Hard Cider, cool. Really nice T-shirt.
Wow.
Like a bluish, hewish gray.
Bluish,
right?
Gray, yep.
Yeah.
Made in Brooklyn.
Nice.
From Rob.
Yeah, everything's local. We try to make sure that everything's sourced locally and everything's created, you know, by people that we love and in Brooklyn or in New York.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true member of Ciderville, working with everyone they love and sourcing it locally, which led me to the first question, was she from New York?
I think that everybody's in New York. We've stayed here long enough. We pretty much bring everybody in. It's the original melting pot. So
that's true.
I've been here for over 10 years, so I do consider it home. Uh-huh. And I'm very, very comfortable in the village. And it is. It feels, you know, it's very much a little community. You run around and see the same people and have your neighbors and mm-hmm. people look out for you and you look out for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a really nice, it's a small town. I know it feels like it's a big city, but you can also run into people that you've known from, you know, I met this person in London or Tokyo and you run into them on 23rd Street as they're, you know, walking up to check out the Empire State Building. That's the coolest thing in the world about this place. It really does feel like such a small town that you really kind of get adopted by it. And that's what we're trying to do a little bit with Big Apple, is give a little part of the Big Apple to anybody who drinks it. The Big Apple drinks it.
One of the white boxes held three bottles of Big Apple Hard Cider.
Tell me about these bottles that you have here. And this is kind of unique.
Oh, I fell in love with these. My little stubbies. You can bottle everything in the stubbies for the small batches and you know, things that we're casking. It makes perfect sense. But for the bigger runs, it's a little bit overwhelming. So. I would love to have the means of a red stripe to be able to do it, but until we can figure it out, these will be special, the special brews and all hand done.
So, well, let's go back to the beginning here and give Ciderville and myself an idea of the beginnings. How did you get into cider making?
Well, as I say, cider is kind of like an ADD wine.
How's that?
It's lower alcohol content. Okay. It takes a little bit less time for it to ferment. My dad's a winemaker, and a winemaker in the sense that he's Italian, and I grew up with my grandfather making wine and my dad making wine. And of course, if you live anywhere near an apple orchard, it really is anything you can get your hands on, whether it's like strawberries or dandelion wine or anything. And of course, there's an abundance of apples in, you know, upstate New York. I can make an apple wine, you know, 13%, like nobody's business. But it's a little bit non-conducive to the cider laws, right? So it's and the way that I learned how to make wine was we made wine for people, different vintages. My mother is she's light and sweet, and so we've made her a raspberry Zinfandel that's her preference. Yeah. And my father is a big bold guy, and you know, so it's a big red Cabernet. His is called Rebel Red.
And is this for home consumption, or are you folks commercial?
No, home consumption.
Okay,
home consumption.
Just checking that. You know, I just want to know if there's some roots here that, like, I don't know, some wine roots. But
my dad's my hero, and really, it was one of my favorite things to do with him is to, you know, to play and figure out something new. And it was honestly something that, you know, it's a little bit dangerous and illegal in some way, shape, or form. You know, when you're 12, to, you know, be making wine.
Well, yeah,
right?
Okay. I was wondering where the illegal came in. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's illegal for a 12-year-old to make wine, but it's probably, whatever.
Scandalous.
We'll just move on from that. Scandalous, right? I know. Well, you know, that's the way cider is a little bit and stuff too.
And he always said, you know, he made Applejack when he was in Boy Scouts, and you know, so he.
So you got some deep roots into, like,
you know,
the back alley stuff. But you've come full alley here. So
yeah.
Your roots come from your family.
Yeah.
And you decided to go with cider, and you're doing this in the city. So I consider this like an urban cidery.
A little bit. I mean, our apples and our juice comes from New York State, and it's, I know that there are some cider houses that have decided to start cultivating their own orchards and things like that, and we don't, but I have my favorite orchards, and you know, as I bring some of my favorites out, like, you know, Naked Flock Guys and, yeah. and Oaks Orchard. Like, it's,
yeah, I haven't,
you know,
had theirs, and that's,
oh,
I'm
they're
really
fantastic.
Excited. I'm really excited.
And you get to understand the varietals. I've always been, because I think my tendency is to lean towards the winemaking part, where I say, you know, I'm not necessarily a specific varietal junkie, but mm-hmm. I will make sure that there's an acid blend that fits the profile nice. For my particular ciders, mm-hmm. Because it's nature, and, you know, sometimes crops are better than others, and years are, you know, farms are different than others, and you have to be kind of flexible when you get into it, and that's really how I've always kind of made wine or cider. And then, you know, how I started making it with my dad again, he was up for, you know, going for retirement a few years ago. And I had brought a kit down to New York, and it was just something that I would challenge him. I would basically say, I would come home for the holidays, and I said, you know, and I pride myself. I think my work, my cider is going to be better than your
okay.
whatever
little,
you're making.
Little competition.
Little competition.
Right.
Never
little
hurt
bit.
Anybody.
Right,
you know.
Right, sure.
And yeah, and then and I really wanted to do something with him, you know, and filed for, you know, the trademarks and things like that, and it's just been a little bit of a labor of love.
Wow.
And then 2014, I got a little bit of a scare. I got into a motorcycle accident in New York.
Wow.
It was got hit by a cab, and you know, they say that, you know, we all have two lives, and the second one starts the moment you realize you only have one. And I realized, you know, maybe I really want to spend more time with my family, and I think, you know, and I'd really like to try this cider business, and then I went full throttle and kind of all in. So
wow.
Yeah, so that's my little cider journey.
Yeah, that's a good one, I'll tell you. You're bringing the juice down to New York, or are you actually making it upstate?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. There's a, you know, trying to be able to make sure that there's the space constraints in the city. So we've been exploring different places. We ended up working upstate, and it really kind of splitting our time, because we've got what I call a test kitchen. We've got about 100 gallons going in the test kitchen. You know, so two 48-gallon conical fermenters that bring juice down and work that on the, you know.
Conical fermenters, did you say?
Yeah, so this way. So,
and that's how you ship it down in conical fermenters?
Oh, no, we'll get shipments from some, like, Red Jacket Orchards, which they come and sell their juice in some of the farmers markets.
Oh,
and
cool.
So either they'll ship down, or I'll rent a truck, and I'll go up to one of the orchards and pick up juice and come down, or, you know, and then
what an endeavor.
It's,
I mean,
crazy.
You know what, I thought about this, like, that's why I was so excited to talk to you. One of the reasons is that, how does a person wrap their mind around saying, I'm going to make cider in New York? I mean, now,
yeah.
Maybe, you know, 100 years ago or 70 years ago or something like that, but now it's like, you really have to have all the bells and whistles kind of, like, set up and be kind of organized.
Well, I mean, you've got to balance what you need to do. So,
yeah.
and then I've got my casking equipment in another area. So nothing is centralized in my life, and it's been really interesting that way, because it needs to be the way that it needs to be. I'm based in New York, and I love being here, but just the logistics are completely crazy. And like you saw the traffic today, even sometimes getting out to our warehouse, which is in Long Island, you know, if I don't go at the right time of day, I might spend 4 hours versus an hour and a half round trip.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of a juggle, mm-hmm. and you kind of wish that, you know, and, you know, we are the city that never sleeps, so it's okay to be able to go there at 3 o'clock in the morning and then come back.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's, like I said, this is a little bit of labor of love, and we're just figuring it out. And, you know, New York City and Governor Cuomo have been amazing with Taste of New York, and so very, very supportive of the cider laws and in the cider community. And obviously, we've got everybody up in Albany that's doing fantastic work, from everybody at Nine Pin Cider and people that have really, you know, taken this in the legislative, you know, sense to heart. And I know we try to make sure that things are kind of working down here as well. But Hudson Valley is fantastic. Everybody up there they're just more than pulling their weight in making this thing work. But, you know, as cider makers, I think we have over 280 registered cider makers in New York State. So it's a lot. I mean, we're a big group of folks, and
well, it's a big state.
Yeah, it is.
Let's start with it's a big state. Just that, you know, for folks who've never been to New York, New York City is like 16 million people, right?
It's a little
something like that.
A little bit.
16, 18 million people just in the city, and then you go upstate, and you just have these amazing farmland, and of course Finger Lakes is known for the grapes and the apples, and you know when I saw Big Apple, I said, you know, that's a big title to kind of take on. You got quite the name there.
Thank you.
You really squirt on that, and it's kind of big boots to step into in a way, just taking on the title of Big Apple Cider, right?
Yeah. I started making wine for people. That's how I tried to figure out what works. It's really inspired by a person or a place.
Danielle opened the bottle of cider called Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is inspired by a friend of mine who grew up in Bed-Stuy. He's a former veteran. He was a paratrooper in the Army. Really amazing guy. Now he's an art director, photographer, poet, lives up in Boston. Passed away when he was 3. His dad wasn't really around. He used the streets as his playground, and I'm very inspired by him and his drive. And we started talking about him as a person, and I said, you know, talk to me about summers in Brooklyn. And he said, you know, horchata. He said, you know, drinking horchata on hot summer days in Brooklyn was that one of the happiest parts of my childhood. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to try to make a cider for you. Horchata he's Puerto Rican, so he's had Puerto Rican horchata, which is a rice-based drink with cinnamon, nutmeg, and vanilla. And it's served over ice, and it is a summer drink. I had never heard of it before either, personally, and I was very intrigued by it.
Is it fermented?
Nope. Sweet summer drink, chilled. Spicy, but you know, and almost the spices that we kind of consider Christmas almost, you know, but the almond milk and vanilla really kind of bring it into this different realm. So I had experimented with this for about 5 years through the course of doing different tastings and pour the cores and working with it and different people, you know, giving their 2 cents. But really, this is about Eddie. And this is about Bed-Stuy. When I wanted to go to market with my first cider, I said, I want to be able to give a percentage to the Boys and Girls Club of Bed-Stuy, and we are sending kids to camp. So a percentage of this sends a kid to camp, or sends kids to camp, hopefully.
Wow.
And he looked at me and he said, oh, I would have loved that when I was little. And my heart melted, and I was like, I know this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. We want to make sure that we give back the communities that inspire our ciders. And the people that inspire our ciders are... everything is about it. It's everything. It's true to them. And that's kind of how I feel about it. I get very emotional about my ciders because I feel like they're my family members.
I feel emotional about it. I feel it. I think what a cool thing. So a portion of these ciders are helping kids get to camp.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you're using some kind of New York phrases here. So you're saying Bed-Stuy.
Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Bedford-Stuyvesant. And that is an area.
In Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn. Like, we're in Greenpoint right now. So that's a little south going. If you look at New York City, Manhattan, it's kind of like a a big finger going down north and south, and then Brooklyn is to the southeast of it, right? And
Kind of north if you're talking about Queens.
Right, a little further north, so, right, yeah, where LaGuardia Airport is. So Bedford-Stuyvesant is kind of southeast of downtown.
And this was in the early, he grew up there, you know, as a little kid in the early 70s, and it was not a nice place to hang out. He had his grandmother, and it was a really, really tough place for him to be. And I think that that's one of those things that you try to then evoke a wonderful memory, use the flavor, and then, okay, let's not make sure that any of these other kids let's give them opportunities that you didn't, and bring it all together and do some good now that we're older and we can make better decisions.
Cool. All right.
Yeah.
So it has this charitable piece to it, which is super awesome.
We don't really talk about that outwardly.
I thought I saw something on the website.
There's a little bit, but it has to do with the charity specifically. I don't feel comfortable with just promoting that because it's with kids. But, you know, other things that I'm working on.
I go to a lot of beer fests where the money goes to the police department, the fire departments, beer fests and cider fests, you know, little small ones, and they're putting it to the YMCA group or something like that. I mean, that's a long tradition in the U.S. for doing that. And, you know, I think that we kind of have to, like, not be afraid to say that there's so much good that could come out of it too, especially if people are responsible and know part of it is just learning how to, like, maneuver in the world in the right way and helping kids do that. It's all good. So I just want to say that from my vantage of kind of being in this field for a while on the broader spectrum just outside of cider, is I think there is a lot of stigma that I think it's about time we just kind of like take that away a little bit and say, you know, folks who do stuff like this, cider makers like yourself, are doing really good work that goes beyond just saying, hey, you know, grab this glass and keep on drinking until there's no end in sight. So,
right. Well, we always want to say, you know, drink responsibly and make
absolutely.
Sure you're over 21 and things like that. And you know, so it just gets into that gray area. But like I said, you know, as a 12-year-old and helping dad out, it was completely normal. and it's a little bit, you know, it's chemistry. Like he said, you know, this, you're going to be the best at chemistry because of this, you know, this little side project of yours. And, you know, so it's fun. But I would love for you to try it and tell me what you think.
Yeah. So are these three different kinds of ciders, or are
so they... these are all different. I'm going to say, okay. Here, let's drink that one.
Drink the one that says drink me.
The one that says drink me. As I was looking and, you know, trying to figure out what Big Apple Hard Cider is, like you said, it's a big name. It's a big opportunity to kind of do something really cool. So I partnered with three different whiskey distilleries in New York, and actually in Brooklyn. And I wanted to cask about 200 gallons of cider into different whiskey casks to see what was happening. And really, Kings County, it's a gorgeous little whiskey distillery right in the Navy Yard. So I would absolutely go and see them because it is one of the coolest places in New York. Van Brunt Still House.
Is it a tour, you mean?
You can go on the tour. And there's upstairs, there's tastings. Mm-hmm. And it's just a lovely little... it's a well-preserved, beautiful little house in the Navy Yard, which is kind of concrete, and this is like the most beautiful little area. And so really, it's quite close to here, like right down the street.
Right down the street from here. Okay, good.
I would definitely check them out.
All right, I will. Can you say the name of them again so we get that?
Kings County. Yep,
okay.
Kings County Distillery. And I think I have about 6 or 7 different types of casks specifically from them, whether it was this is a peated bourbon. I have American from them. I have a pumpkin moonshine from them that's turning into this
pumpkin moonshine. Say more about that.
So they created a pumpkin moonshine that they were selling in small batches, and I took their casks and then put my cider in it, and it started fermenting again. So I've got another, it's another secondary fermentation in those casks. Sure. And it turned into this very strange, like, champagne type of, you know, mix-up of these two wonderful things that just never, it's just a big experiment. But I'm really excited about it.
I love that. I love those kind of experiments.
And then there's Brooklyn Distillery. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And Van Brunt Stillhouse. And you can go visit both of them. And they're just right in the area.
In
they're
my
right
area,
down the street.
My hood right. Okay, good.
Exactly.
Get down in Brooklyn.
So where can I put
it? All right. So this is...
So this is Brooklyn.
Look at that. So it's a beautiful amber color. A little bit of effervescence. Really nice aroma coming off of that. I like kind of breathing that in a little bit before I want to taste it, because I can kind of smell so much going on there. And it's delicious. Really warming. I know a lot of people listening really like the acidity in cider, but I'm more one who doesn't really go for that. Might be my pH or something. And this is so drinkable. I'm not getting that kind of acidic bite. It's very well balanced. It has a nice background there. Let me get another sip here. It's finally clearing up. Now I'm getting more into the city mood. Hello, Brooklyn.
It's 100% New York State apples. I don't cut this with water. I don't cut it with concentrate. I don't cut it with anything. It's 100% apples, which makes it a little bit more expensive. But a cider, by definition, can be 50% water, natural ingredients, and 50% apple concentrate or apple juice or products or things like that. I feel when you put anything, when you start fermenting with a sugar-based product versus a pressed apple-based product, I know I can tell the difference just from my wine background, and to expedite the process of using different ingredients. This starts with the best ingredients, and I believe that across the board, it makes a huge difference. So when somebody tries this, and I can say I can compare against an Angry Orchard, it's just going to be a different taste profile, because we're 100% New York State apples. Everything is natural, and we're not fermenting with anything. With anything that's you know, from concentrate. And I really want to make sure that I can continue to make a really high quality product with New York State and based products, based apples, because to me it makes all the difference in the taste, and that I think is really important. So that's just my commitment that I've made to everything about Big Apple, that it really is pure, natural, and made in New York State.
Wow, it's just like you're kind of hanging out after you bit into the apple and it's squirted out a little bit and it's sitting kind of warming up in the sun, and you get that scent coming off the apple. That's what I'm getting here.
Thank you.
Yeah, nice job. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah.
This is, I'm so proud of this, and this actually, this won a gold at the World Championships of Cider recently. So
holy smokes,
wow, it was,
yeah,
we were really blown away by that. It was really exciting, and you know, because I've made a lot of esoterics and basques and things with that are very tangy or funky or you know, different, and I think that there's a lot of the, you know, obviously cider connoisseurs are really into differences, and they and the mushroomy or you know, these sour, sweet, the tannins and things. What I've learned from my winemaking background, I mean, it takes a long time to break down those tannins when you get into like a 9% or 11% or 12%. Being able to kind of understand arresting fermentation and changing the balance of it so you can create something that, to me, is accessible. I call this almost like an accessible craft. It is between, it's not an esoteric, and it's not a mass production of, you know, one of the big guys, which I completely respect everybody on the spectrum. I think everybody has their own place, but I hadn't found something that is really high quality and extremely drinkable in, cider is still a discovery drink, no matter.
What do you mean by that, a discovery drink? Because I kind of like that word, but I just want to get your hit on what you mean.
So I, you know, yeah. people are still discovering cider, that cider exists. We have this wonderful community, the cider community, that I think that we are zealots about it, and we love it, but it's just, it's not even getting people to explore different types of ciders. It's getting the rest of the world to explore ciders. And Portland has a great cider scene. New York City, we didn't even crack the top 10 of cities that actually enjoyed cider. So the other thing that I tried to do when I created my cider was have an opportunity to tap into the cocktail culture. So we can use this as a mix for, you know, different speakeasy cocktail bars in the city, and you know, and so it becomes part of the New York City lexicon, and people get, you know, introduced to it in different ways. But I think when you're looking for a beautiful summer drink or a fall drink or an anytime drink, cider is not necessarily at the top of people's lists as you might think, as we might think. But you know,
who are those people that don't know that? What is up?
Nuts, right? So I mean,
that is so changing.
It is changing. I think it's, you know, it's slowly but surely. But there's also a lot of education that needs to go on, because I have people who are not in cider, you know. Goodness, crazy that you know, and people said, oh, I had a Red's hard apple ale, and I was like, oh, that's not actually made of apples. So, sure. But I would love to be able to make sure that you have this, or go to Wassail on the Lower East Side and hang out with Jen and Ben and Dan Pucci and learn about cider and get your, you know, and cut your teeth on some really amazing things. Or go to a bar like Ginger Man, and they've got, you know, Naked Flock on tap, or some other, maybe some Millstone or something like that. And, you know, so people are getting a little bit more of an education, and they're getting used to it. But I still think it's a little bit more of a discovery drink than we had realized. And, you know, the more we can bring people into the culture and say, this is gluten-free, 100% natural, you know, made from New York by New Yorkers and benefits New York, it's great.
Yeah, it is great. And this is a perfect cider to introduce anybody to for the first time. They would get everything that they would expect from a good drink here. You know, it's a really rock solid.
Thank you.
Bravo.
That
bravo.
Means a lot.
I love the color too.
It's this beautiful amber.
Yeah, beautiful amber. And it is like that, you know, that apple that's sitting there, and it's enticing you to like bite further into it. That's what I get here a lot. Those little subtleties as the apple warms up, and you're really getting all the flavors that are coming out of it. Nice finish, nice aroma, all the way through. Wow.
Thank you.
Yippee-yay-yo-ki-yay.
That one is super fun. Like I said, we've worked on that for you know, a long time, and I'm really proud of it, and I thank Eddie for the inspiration, and it feels like it's family, and I love hearing other people describe it to me, because it really is like a painting. What do you get out of it? And you know, tell me about your experience with this, and it's going to shift in shape, whatever, you know. But we do have some pairings of cheese from Murray's, and they've done a great job with helping me out with that. Mass Brothers is another little chocolate shop that's down the street.
Wow.
So these guys are fantastic.
So when you are serving cider and telling somebody to invite them into it, chocolate and cider?
Sure, absolutely.
Perfect. And this has a little sea salt in it, so that kind of brings out that nice, you know, pizzazz in both the chocolate and the cider. And then cheeses, what kind of cheese do you typically choose to pair with it?
I've got a triple creme for you, and also I've got two crystalline goudas. One is called Euphoria, and the other is Romano, and they're both beautiful.
Wow. Should we open some of these up here?
Sure,
absolutely. Let's see. Got this. So Danielle brought this like cute little box. I feel like I'm in like cider heaven right now. This cute little cutting board. We're gonna like open this little sweet. This is from the store.
This is called Murray's Tea Shop, and they've done an amazing job with just bringing cider forward in the New York area because they do tastings and pairings. Mm. These guys are cheese connoisseurs. It's one of the best things you'll ever do in your life if you ever want to learn about cheese is go to one of these cheese tastings with Murray's, and you can spend 4 hours with their cheesemongers, and they will teach you all about different types of cheeses and the pairings of different, you know, sometimes they'll have cider dinners or wine dinners at City Winery, and they're fantastic folks, and they are so knowledgeable, and they usually have an incredible selection of ciders from all over the country and the world. I think they've got some Normandy ciders and things like that. But I wanted to also bring Descendant Cider, which is up in Queens. So you'll probably see those guys tomorrow.
Yeah, I think they'll be there. Yeah, I'm excited.
They're fantastic. And then these guys, which I call like my sister cider because I've used...
That's okay. I don't want to miss a word that you're saying. Hey, we're in New York. You know,
hey,
it's busy on the ground and it's busy overhead. There's, you know, some guys up on the rooftop wishing they were down here. Hanging out with us with this amazing little ray on the table, like, what is up? You were saying,
So Naked Flock is another one of my absolute favorite ciders from New York State. We've used the same apple source for a little bit, and so I call them my sister cider.
Nice,
even though we're not technically related, but I love them like a cousin.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I think that's a nice statement about the New York cider makers. And not just New York, but cider makers across the board. Something about cider makers, they're folks who go out into the orchards. They love the apple. You need to have a little bit of everything going on. You have to be not only orchard savvy, you got to be kind of city savvy if you want to get your products out to the market. And so it's a unique group of individuals that I particularly really dig hanging out with. So.
You have a really fun job.
I do. I tell you, I get to speak to the most amazing people in the world.
Danielle then pours a cider she calls Navy Yard. It was made in a peated bourbon barrel from Kings County Distillery.
Wow. And, I don't even have to put my nose to it. I could smell it from here.
It's crazy, right?
Wow.
I've really enjoyed this experiment.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The Navy Yard is smooth and savory. I'm impressed that there's no strong sour so often found in ciders left too long in the barrel. The background funk brings me deeper and deeper into the glass. Yep, Big Apple is in full dress uniform with this year's cider. In a city as big as New York, which I have found out since this chat, ranges around 8 million people. There's lots of inspiration, and for Danielle von Schreiner, a Big Apple, it keeps pouring in with another cider that she calls
Hell's Kitchen.
Why don't we share with Ciderville what Hell's Kitchen, the history is?
Hell's Kitchen in general has been a pretty tough area of town, and it's had quite a colored background. And
where is it in relationship to, I don't know, Brooklyn, where we
sure.
are?
Sure. Hell's Kitchen is going to be above Chelsea. It's in, I would say, Midtown West, right around the 40th streets and by the water. And
that's how New Yorkers talk about things. It's like on the streets. If you're in downtown, you're at lower numbers than as you go...
Or no numbers.
Or no numbers, right. Downtown, right?
It's, right, financial district. Right,
financial district.
Or like, yeah, or Wall Street.
Right.
Financial district. And
then going north.
Yep.
You probably don't think that way, but you just think uptown?
Well, and because I live in Greenwich Village,
yeah.
Which is... very cool part of the city because it you know, the home of Bob Dylan and,
yeah,
and these
yeah.
little music clubs, and it's academia, it's NYU, it's two,
yeah.
you know, it's
Stonewall,
right? Stonewall,
yeah.
And, you know, you've got this, you know, this fantastic art scene of
near the meat market, right?
Kind of a little bit. Meatpacking. Yeah. Meatpacking is now a very hip, cool part of more of the
club,
West Village
club kind of scene, right?
They've got Ganzevoort, and they've got some great beer halls. Brass Monkey is over there, and Standard Beer Garden, fantastic, you know, and Cobra Coffee is there, which was one of my favorite little drink spots. But really, if you want to go meatpacking, it's to see, be seen, high heel stilettos on cobblestone streets, absolutely go for it. And you'll see the East Village and Wassail's over there, and it's fantastic. Right. And they're on Orchard Street, which is so apropos. The city is so integrated. You'll discover something new wherever you go. Hell's Kitchen is just a wonderful bastion of culture and really cool people, but it really draws on the really hard part of the city at one point. It's taken its inspiration from sriracha. It's a little bit it's very, very hot and spicy, mm-hmm. and it's got a really interesting flair to it. So that was the background of Hell's Kitchen. It was made for a friend of mine who is definitely quite a big personality, and like I said, that's how I kind of figure out how I create my ciders.
So you added a little bit of spice in there?
Lots of
spice.
I infused sriracha into a base cider.
Can we say what sriracha is for folks who don't know?
Sure, sriracha is a hot sauce. Because there are sriracha enthusiasts that really like and purists that really they want a specific type of sriracha. It's that sauce is what they're after. So I really wanted to be pure to that specific taste. And it really is. It's almost like a male dominated. And I say male just because it's very bold and in your face. It's like you could yell at a cab,
and it'll stop.
And they'll stop, and you know,
and back up for you.
Exactly. I had infused a bit of this sriracha and vanilla bean in honey infusion, and then I mixed that with another base cider.
The next day, I was at Pour the Core in Brooklyn. Within 2 hours of the event starting, I received a notification from Big Apple Cider via my Twitter feed. It said, "Hell's Kitchen is going fast. Come try it now if you can at Cider Chat." I made my way past the throngs of people standing in line and had a sip. Even as I was getting ready to speak, already Danielle was planning to do some changes as I was trying to tell her that the sriracha had come through perfectly for my palate. And so it goes. In the city that never sleeps, on the full throttle stage of what makes America truly a melting pot of culture, I know that there'll be more ciders to come from this startup that will continue to reflect the best that the apple has to give and the story of the boroughs and the people of New York City. Now, you might think that the story ends there for this chat with Danielle. I mean, already she had gifted me not only her small batch ciders, but also a bottle from two New York City cideries, a gift basket of three perfect cider cheese pairings, apple locust honey, a cutting board, a nice bar of salted chocolate, which does, by the way, go quite well with cider, and a Big Apple t-shirt. But the story doesn't end there. She was set on me experiencing New York City, and so I accepted her invitation to attend the off-Broadway production of Drunk Shakespeare. Do go to the show notes for this episode at Cider Chat to see my own version of Ellen DeGeneres' Oscar selfie moment at this play, which, by the way, I highly recommend for cider folk who want a mature, wickedly sinful, and entertaining experience while in the city. Thank you, Danielle and Josh. You made this podcaster feel like Ciderville's version of Anthony Bourdain. And when heading to the city, make sure as you peruse the different cider avenues to ask for Big Apple Cider. Well, I'm hoping that you're thinking, geez, New York City feels a lot more approachable now. And if there's anything that you were thinking, well, I missed that. What was that bar's name or how do I get there? Go to episode 35 in the show notes and you'll see some of the notable mentions that we discussed in this chat. And you'll think, wow, I could go to Drunken Shakespeare or definitely Wassail. So much good stuff happening. And certainly, it would mean a lot if you could share this podcast with three of your friends today. Let them know that there is a cider-centric podcast out there, and we're having one heck of a time in Ciderville.
Going up, going up.
As I roll out of here today, make sure that you listen to the very end and hear both Danielle and I trying to get into that apartment. Oh, some things, you know, that's the way it happens. But there's always a very bright, in this case, Big Apple on the other side. This is Real Windcaller signing off for now. I look forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
And this, everything seems super cool because I was able to get onto their Wi-Fi and try to say, hey, folks, you know, I'm not able to get in here.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm, like, so close.
And we're sure it's this one.
Well, this is all my directions right here. You know, 1R. It says there's two doors, one on the right and one on the left. And I know there's a garden out there waiting for us.
Backward, maybe, or like a...
Don't... No, I don't think so. It just says, you know, open the door, continue straight, open that door at the end of the hallway. Let's try one, too.
Yeah.
Two. Oh, my God, look at that. Holy smokes.
Okay, that works.
Come on in. Let's go sit outside back.
I'm so
glad. Oh, I have to text these people and let them know that I'm in.